In a tightening job market, businesses are transitioning to a more flexible, tech-driven culture. What is the impact of that new technology on employee engagement and productivity? Find out when we return to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business.
This is Tech News Briefing for Thursday, December 19th. I'm Charlie Turner from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal. More and more tech companies are looking to get into finance, the Apple Card, Google Pay. But very few of these tech companies are going it alone. Instead, they're partnering with financial institutions. Wall Street Journal reporter Telos Dimos will explain in just a moment. But first, let's check some tech headlines. More Americans might be able to invest early in the next Facebook or Uber. A proposal narrowly approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission Wednesday expands the number of people allowed to invest in private securities offerings, hedge funds, and private equity firms. Right now, the process is limited to accredited investors, since private markets are typically riskier than public markets. Under the new rules, certain high-income earners and less qualified brokers will be added to that list. While some are concerned that naive investors could be tempted to take on too much risk, supporters of the plan say it could help level the playing field. And in a world of unicorn tech startups, it could create more capital for young companies to tap. Dexcom said a switch in its cloud computing service provider led to the recent failure of the data sharing feature of the company's blood sugar monitoring devices for people with diabetes. Chief Executive Kevin Sayers said Dexcom switched cloud service providers earlier this year for its data sharing feature. It allows friends and relatives of people wearing Dexcom's wearable blood sugar monitors to receive glucose readings on their smartphones. And Broadcom is shifting away from its roots as a semiconductor maker and leaning into the more lucrative software business. The Wall Street Journal reports exclusively that the chipmaker is working with Credit Suisse to find a buyer for its radio frequency, or RF, unit. The unit makes chips that help cell phones clarify radio signals. It's a technology crucial to getting the best out of the latest phone for 5G, the new standard expected to revolutionize wireless communications. The RF unit could be worth $10 billion, sources tell the Journal.
Welcome back to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business. What kind of effect does new technology have on employee engagement and productivity? We asked Denise Hasty, SVP of Comcast Business.
Companies that embrace technology will be the ones to attract and retain the top talent. So with the ability to work from anywhere, barriers have become more fluid. But these experiences are also dependent on a great network that enables each employee to have the kind of experience that brings them back to work every day.
More and more tech firms have been advancing into banking. Here to explain is the Wall Street Journal's Telos Dimos. Tell us, tech firms have been increasingly partnering with banks to offer financial products. Broadly, why do tech companies want to be involved in finance?
Tech companies see an opportunity to extend their relationship with their customers through the device or through what they use for email or other things into their financial life. And the vision is that money should become something sort of seamless to what you're doing. So if you're sending somebody an email and that email might be about, I owe you some money, that money transfer could just be seamless with that email. Using your device, paying for things. You don't need to bring your wallet when you go shopping. Just bring your device. Just bring your iPhone or your Samsung phone or whatever that might be. So tech companies see an opportunity to further embed their products in your life by also tying them into your financial life.
Google has partnered with Citigroup. Apple has a partnership with Goldman. For tech companies, what's the benefit of working with a financial institution rather than going it alone?
So one of the scary things for a tech company when offering financial services is the threat of being regulated by banking regulators when they're offering those services. That might have to cause them to radically change the way that they do business, the way that they organize their company. It would be quite a big leap for Apple or Google or whoever to suddenly just directly go into the banking business or certain parts of the banking business. By partnering with the bank, they can have that bank do the highly regulated stuff and then offer that service under their brand or through their systems.
How exactly are these banking tech partnerships structured? Is there a certain type of bank that's more likely to win a partnership with a tech company?
So far, a lot of small banks have actually had great inroads into working with some very big tech companies. Green Dot, for example, is one pretty small bank that actually works with some big technology companies, like Apple, for example. The advantage there has been that those small banks aren't necessarily trying to nationally create a banking business, a retail banking business, in the same way that a big bank like a Citigroup or a JP Morgan Chase or a Bank of America might be. And so that small bank might be willing to kind of do a lot of that behind the scenes work for that tech company. And a big tech company might have some negotiating leverage over a small bank that it doesn't with a big bank.
Let's talk about core deposits versus broker deposits. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, has said that it wants to modernize how broker deposits are classified to account for changes in technology. How would it do that, and what purpose would such a change serve?
How exactly a deposit is treated by regulators has been an issue for many years. Back in the 1980s, there were some notable bank failures because those banks relied on what are considered brokered deposits. Brokered deposits are deposits that don't necessarily come in directly, i.e., you walk into the bank and you say, I'd like to be a customer, here's my money. They come in through some third party. That might be, say, a brokerage firm that doesn't offer banking services as part of what it does, as part of wealth management, but sort of puts its clients' money all into one bank at one time and could move that money around as it sees fit without the ultimate customer, the person whose money it is, really even knowing. So these broker deposits have at the time in the past been called hot money because of how quickly they might move. And regulators' fear has long been that broker deposits would flee a bank very quickly should that bank start getting into trouble. What regulators are now saying is that a lot of the rules about what exactly a broker deposit is, which were set many years ago, don't account for how technology has changed and how a lot of deposits are intermediated in some way, shape, or form through an app, through a website, through some other thing that might, in some respects, make them look like a broker deposit. There's a third party involved, but don't necessarily act like a broker deposit. And the FDIC, which is the main regulator, is considering modernizing some of those rules to account for how some broker deposits, some things that might be considered broker deposits, actually look like what regulators call core deposits, which they consider the safest, least likely to flee a bank in signs of trouble form of deposits.
And this would benefit tech companies if these rule changes were enacted?
Tech companies are at risk of being labeled as brokers because essentially they are the front end. The customer knows, oh, I have a checking account with this tech company, right? I have a Google checking account, should they offer it. I have an Apple checking account. I have my money with Square or with Amazon or whoever it might be. They might not necessarily know who the bank behind that ultimately is. So the question is, So those relationships are likely to possibly look like a brokered deposit. The FDIC, by reclassifying exactly what a brokered deposit is and who a broker is, might make it much easier for those tech companies to be delivering what are core deposits to banks. And that makes tech company relationships that much more valuable to banks. And it kind of shifts a little bit of the balance of power towards the tech companies away from the banks, because the banks so far have been able to say, look, we're the regulated party here. We call the shots. But if things get a little easier on the regulatory front, then the tech company might be able to say, hey, we're bringing you good stuff here. Give us a good deal.
Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demas, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.